Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The midterm saw a record-breaking number of openly LGBTQ plus candidates running for and winning elected offices across the country in what advocates are calling a rainbow wave. The wave also crested here in the Golden State as California became the first state in the nation to reach at least 10% of LGBTQ plus representation in the state legislature. These lawmakers will be taking office during a poignant time in our country after more than a dozen states passed what advocates call anti-LGBTQ plus legislation and a mass shooting at a gay club in Colorado Springs, which claimed the lives of five people and injured at least 17 others less than 2 weeks after Election Day. Joining us now to talk about how the LGBTQ plus community is responding to the tragedy, as well as the historic gains made by candidates this year, is Tony Wang, Executive Director of Equality California, the nation's largest statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights organization. Thank you for making the time, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us more about how Equality California advocates for LGBTQ plus rights throughout California?
Sure. So Equality California, again, is the nation's largest statewide LGBTQ civil rights organization. And so we affect the goal of having full lived equality in a number of ways. First, with legislating on policy up in Sacramento and Washington, D.C., pushing pro-equality legislation, and through our sister arm, Equality California Institute, running large public education campaigns to ensure that we change hearts and minds to ensure, again, that we have full-lived equality of all members of the LGBTQ plus community.
How long has your organization been around?
We've been around for over 22 years now at this point.
Yeah, and so much has happened in those 22 years, right? How do you reflect on the more than two decades of work and of progress that's been done not only in California, but across the country?
Yeah, I think we are lucky and fortunate to live in a state like California in such a short amount of time through the hard work of Equality California and so many great advocates on the shoulders that we stand on, allowing California to become the state with the most sets of comprehensive civil rights for LGBTQ plus people. But I think particularly looking at the past number of years, we can see how fragile those rights are, particularly with the backlash that's been happening across the country. And so our work ahead of us is to ensure that California continues to be a refuge and a beacon of hope for LGBTQ folks across the country.
You know, also when it comes to the organization Silver State Equality, your organization also supports them as well, and they promote pro-equality candidates and LGBTQ civil rights in Nevada, our neighboring state. I'm curious, what are some of the key differences or even challenges in advocacy work in a swing state like Nevada compared to California?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. I mean, obviously, the political landscape is quite different. As folks saw in the recent midterm elections, Nevada is truly a purple state. And so through our program, Service at Equality, we really have to work in a bipartisan manner to ensure that we are moving legislators to ensure that we continue to protect LGBTQ folks in our neighboring state and the state of Nevada. And so, our rationale and philosophy overall is how do we continue to export some of the great work we've done here in California to our neighboring state in Nevada as well.
Your organization, back in January, you set a goal of having 10% of LGBTQ plus representation in the state legislature for this midterm election, and it was accomplished. I mean, you helped California achieve a major milestone in this year's midterm, helping the state become what is believed to be the first state with at least 10% of its state lawmakers identifying publicly as LGBTQ plus. But behind this achievement is really a great deal of work and a great deal of time. It's more than just a number. Help us visualize the trajectory to make this a reality.
Yeah, again, we are ecstatic about those election results. I know there's one race that we're still looking at that is one of the candidates is leading about 50 votes with a number of more days ahead to be counted. But like you mentioned, it has been a lot of work for our staff as well as our partners to ensure that we achieve the historic representation. And so, that starts with recruitment, looking at candidates in key areas. One thing that we are really involved in back in 2020 is around the redistricting work, ensuring that the LGBTQ plus community had true representation in some of these state assembly, state senate lines. And so maximizing the political power in places like Palm Springs or Los Angeles to ensure that we were able to consolidate representation within those various communities. And out of that work, we were able to recruit some great candidates, folks like my predecessor, Rich Chavez-Zabur in Los Angeles, Christy Hulsich in Palm Springs, C. Padilla down in San Diego. And that allowed us to have some great victories come election night. There are some historic firsts in there. For example, we will have the first openly Black member of the LGBTQ Legislative Caucus with Corey Jackson out in the Riverside area. And assuming the lead holds, we'll also have the first openly bisexual woman with Christy Hulsich out in the Palm Springs Riverside area. And so for us, again, it was really exciting election night to have true proper representation of the LGBTQ community up in Sacramento.
You know, even though California is overall a deep blue state, it is politically diverse when you hone in on different regions and counties. Were there some offices or areas of the state that were more challenging than others when it came to advocacy and outreach?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, you know, particularly looking at our LGBTQ candidates, you know, we are excited that they represent the true diversity of California. Thinking about the LGBTQ caucus, we have folks like Senator Eggman, who represents the Central Valley, down to the pro tem representing San Diego. We have you know, folks in the Riverside area, you know, the East and South Bay. And so for us, it's really exciting to have LGBTQ folks representing these various communities, showing that acceptance and inclusion of LGBTQ folks is not a political issue. It is not a Democratic issue. It is a bipartisan issue where folks are wanting to ensure that their communities reflect the full diversity of the broader public.
And you touched upon that despite the strides that are being made. I mean, these strides are also fragile. So let's get into that. The Human Rights Campaign announced that like 23 states introduced what they identified as anti-LGBTQ plus legislation this year, and which became law in 13 of those states. That's more than a dozen. What role do you believe those laws had in motivating what some have called a rainbow wave this election, the pushback?
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly in the final weeks of the midterm elections, we saw massive amounts of dollars attacking the LGBTQ community, particularly our trans kids, trying to use them as a wedge issue in some of these battleground states, particularly looking at the control of the U.S. Senate. But through the exit polling, we saw that that was not a resonant issue. And so we know as the presidential election heats up, they will continue to use LGBTQ issues as a wedge issues. But again, you know, we believe that Americans know that, you know, values like inclusion and acceptance are American values. And so for us, with our partners across the country, really pushing back against this rhetoric. You mentioned, you know, the dozens of states that have tried to push these anti-LGBTQ laws. You know, that's really concerning for us. That combined with the widespread discourse of political right groups demonizing LGBTQ folks, in addition to physical harassment of our community, folks like the Proud Boys that are showing up at Pride events and drag story hours, those have real world impacts on our community. I think, you know, here in California, we have, you know, State Senator Scott Wiener that has been called out by far right politicians like Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene. That, you know, this rhetoric is really seeping out into the broader public that have real life, you know, harms for the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, I mean, and when you talk about violence, the violence has long existed, and it did repeat itself just 2 weeks after the midterm at Club Q, and it was a mass shooting at a gay club in Colorado Springs. 5 people were killed, at least 17 others were injured. How do you reconcile both of these things happening just a couple weeks apart, making historic strides in one sense, but also having yet another senseless tragedy take place?
Unfortunately for us, this attack wasn't surprising. You know, when you have the mix of toxic rhetoric attacking the LGBTQ plus community with easy access to guns in this country, that was the outcome. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise for folks when all we're seeing that is happening across the country against the LGBTQ plus community and the hate and lies and violence that is igniting by far right politicians, and having a mass shooting at one of our few safe places where LGBTQ folks can feel safe to live their authentic selves is devastating, particularly, you know, bringing back, you know, the tragedies and memories of the pole shooting in Miami.
Yeah. And given that Equity California is based in the state, but you also have a national policy office in D.C., and so you work closely with California's congressional delegation. What are some of the biggest national policy goals that you hope to achieve? And are you optimistic it will be possible when Republicans retake control of the House?
You know, as we're talking about federal issues, one thing to note today is that the U.S. Senate will be voting on the Respect for Marriage Act, which would codify same-sex marriages at the federal level. And so we're optimistic that that will pass today and will get sent back to the House and to the president's desk for his signature. But that is just one step. To date, there just still does not exist federal civil rights protections for LGBTQ people. And so we are hoping with the momentum of the Respect for Marriage Act that we can pass the Equality Act. And, you know, there has been bipartisan support in the House, and depending on the control of the U.S. Senate after the Georgia runoffs, we are optimistic that there will be movement on that, you know, come next year. And so for us, you know, really, again, our philosophy is what we do here in California can continue to make impact across the country. And so working with the California delegation, exporting some of the great work that we've done here in Sacramento to Washington, D.C.
Tony, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tony Wang is the executive director of Equality California, joining us to discuss the historic gains made by LGBTQ plus candidates in California this year. Up next, it's going to get easier to visit Yosemite. The reservation system put in place during the pandemic will soon become no more. We will discuss all about that. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.